The A-side's got hype, but people root for the underdog. There may be a main event, but don't sleep on the undercard. Welcome to the B-side, you can take your sneaks off, take you for a sweet ride. Ah, info we supply, worldwide, thanks for flipping to the B-side, yeah.
Hosted by Brian McKay.
Welcome back, and thank you for flipping to the B-side. I am your host, Brian B. Mac McKay, and in this episode, I am joined by Naismith and Women's Basketball Hall of Fame basketball analyst, Debbie Antonelli. Debbie, while best known for her gift of gab on your television screen, played basketball for Hall of Fame coach Kay Gow at NC State, where she is the self-proclaimed best non-stat starter in Wolfpack history. Debbie's renowned broadcasting career began in the early 90s when she served as director of marketing at Ohio State University, where she arranged a deal with the local TV station to air 8 women's basketball games per season, where she would do the play-by-play on all of those games. With a career spanning over 36 years, almost said 4 decades, but I didn't want to hurt her feelings, Debbie calls games for NCAA men's and women's basketball and the WNBA, having just completed her 20th season as analyst for the Indiana Fever. Debbie and her husband, Frank, have 3 boys, Joey, Frankie, and Patrick. The latter half, who just finished a season as a walk-on with Louisville men's basketball and will play at Francis Marion this upcoming season. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show the pride of Cary High School, until they give the title to Issa Rae Stevenson's. Debbie Antonelli.
B-Mac, man, I tell you what, we're like family, so I don't know why you rattled all that off. Why didn't you just say, here's my sister, I'm her brother, let's roll.
Oh, you know what, like I tell everybody, the intro is the best part. It's all downhill from here, so here we go. Have you had a chance to watch any of the WNBA playoffs? I know you covered the first round, but you've been all over the country since then, so...
Of course, I'm always watching, whether I'm sitting, standing, working out, driving. I'm finding a way to keep up with it for sure. It's been really interesting. Game 2 of the semifinals was really unreal. The turnaround by Vegas, which we expected, and then the comeback by Phoenix, which is just unprecedented against the top team in Minnesota. So I'm looking forward to Game 3. I think we're going to have 2 more really competitive games between both those series.
In the Phoenix and Minnesota series, it seems to be, almost polar opposites to each other. First, game 1, Phoenix jumps out to a big lead. At halftime, don't know what Cheryl Reeves said, but you know she said something. They make adjustments. They come out. They take over. They win the game. And this game 2 is the complete opposite. Minnesota jumps out to the big lead. Then Phoenix makes adjustments at halftime, comes out, and they take game 2. Do you see that trend continuing, or what do you see there?
Well, for Minnesota in game 1, they were down 17 and came back. I had that game, and they were very businesslike about what they do. They don't lose their composure. They stay connected. And then the opposite, up 20, they didn't lose their composure. They stayed connected, but maybe that's where they needed a little bit of a sense of urgency, because as Phoenix was mounting their comeback, you didn't see what you expect to see out of Minnesota from an energy standpoint and from a connectivity side. I just thought Phoenix got aggressive. They started rolling downhill. Alyssa Thomas let the game come to her in the first half, and then she became more assertive. And when she's aggressive, they are really tough to deal with because she's led the league in assists. She's a willing passer. I do think Minnesota is highly talented, but the physicality and the determination of Phoenix is going to be an issue through what I would say will be to game 5. I expect both these series to go to 5 games.
In the other series, game 1, Kelsey Mitchell comes out and plays a phenomenal game. 34 points, most for a player playing in her first semifinal, which was awesome. But one thing, and I listen to every women's basketball podcast there is. I'll go ahead and put that out there. One thing that I've not heard, other than today, I heard Sue Bird talk about it on her podcast. I've not heard anyone mention other than Sue, about the defense that Indiana played, where Lexi Hole just drove Jackie Young nuts all night long. And the combination of Aaliyah Boston and Breanna Turner on Asia Wilson had her rushing. You could tell she was rushing everything she put up. This is all game one.
Right.
Game two, they made some adjustments. And I thought Indiana, for whatever thing they did in game one with the defense, with Kelsey Mitchell, and I, as I've coined them on the Her Hoop Stats podcast, the replacements, they all had big games. Game one, game two, everybody almost looked tired, looked exhausted. You know, and you know, Lexi got a back issue. Kelsey looked like she's been playing 40 minutes a game. I think this next 2 days, this 2 days off, really going to help them, and I think that'll, you know, look good going into Indiana tomorrow.
Well, I voted for Kelsey on the All Defensive Team. So Lexi Hall was a close second in my book. Nobody gets skinny over the top of ball screening action. She's so good at top blocking to be disruptive. I don't think Lexi gets enough credit for what she's done for Indiana from a defensive standpoint. And nobody crashes the offensive glass from the corner better than Lexi. Now, you know, I don't like to talk about defense, but if you've been listening to me on the 30 plus games I did for Indiana, Kelsey Mitchell is a much better defender. She has always used her quickness on the offensive end and her explosiveness, but now she's using it on the defensive end. What's so interesting is all season I've called her like a running back, shoulder pads, over thigh pads, hitting the offensive line, playing a game low to high. Nobody plays the game like that except Kelsey. On the defensive side, she trained with defensive back coach at Cincinnati over the offseason, and it really helped her footwork. And I think it's helped her in Stephanie's scheming, because Stephanie White is a brilliant offensive coach, but she also is very good on the defensive end. And, you know, when you have the kind of replacements, as you call them, you can't quite make all the adjustments come playoffs that you'd like to make from a defensive standpoint. Indiana's not a team that likes to blitz very often, but I'm sure that was in their back pocket for the playoffs. It's hard to do some things that you'd like to do or that you plan to do just to be disruptive. But there's definitely commitment on the defensive end by Indiana. And I have, Aaliyah Boston is a good rim protector too. And then, you know, the quickness up front with the ball pressure. I mean, Odyssey Sims is a former defensive player of the year in college basketball. So, I mean, they've got a good D. They're schemed very well with the group they have. And I've talked about them too, BMAC. I think from a defensive standpoint, there's a lot to take away with four Olympians from Vegas. But if you can keep them in front and rebound, you have a better chance of winning, not being too aggressive with your ball screen coverage.
This is kind of stepping away from the WNBA, but, and I know I didn't really have this in the notes, because when I sent you the notes, this came out the next day. What are your thoughts on Kara Lawson being named the women's national team coach?
Well, Kara has a very impressive resume. There's no question that if you go by USA Basketball system, which is how they go about selecting players and coaches, there was no one else that had the resume that Kara has. Quite frankly, I think Duke is a team that was one possession away from going to the Final Four last year. So I'd expect that she's going to have a heck of a year. I think she'll deal with all the media that comes with it. And I think for USA Basketball and for Sue Bird, who apparently has a lot of confidence in Kara to deliver on the national stage, I'm excited to see what she will do. I'm very excited to see how it works out.
Well, I woke up this morning and I could feel a little, I won't say it's chilly because in Mississippi it's never really chilly, but it was cooler. And I always tell people when I feel that cool in the air, I know college basketball season is coming. So I've been doing this with you long enough now. I can say we.
Yeah, look, people need to know, like straight up, like I can't do half the stuff I do without you, BMAC. You're the man.
We have a podcast, Nothing But Net. That's a shoot-off of something else we're going to talk about in a second. But the podcast that we have, give the people a preview of what we're going to have this year.
Well, my podcast is about education and entertaining. It is about bringing out personalities, work ethic, and IQ of players and coaches and administrators leaders, people that are inspiring and motivating. That's what I want to do. I want to bring out those qualities in everyone that we interview or sit down and watch film with or anything like that. I am really dedicated to, especially on the women's side, continuing to promote from a grassroots level and then elevating the kind of characters that we get as much as we can. It's a fun podcast. I know sometimes I drive you nuts with my schedule trying to get it scheduled, but you, man, you're the best teammate ever. You really are.
Well, I named it when you asked me to help you with that. I came up with the name Nothing But Net because of what you do in May, the 24 hours of Nothing But Net. You have raised, Team Antonelli has raised over $1.4 million in 7 years. And I like to tell people all the time, because I came in after year two, so $1.2 million is, you know, I was in.
Hey, you can take all the credit you want, man. I'm just, we know what that money does for Special Olympics. It's awesome.
If there's somebody who's listening to this, then I'd be shocked, because I know the people that will listen. But if there's someone listening that doesn't know about the 24 hours of nothing but net, explain that to them.
24 hours, Nothing But Net is a free throw shooting marathon. I make 100 free throws on the top of every hour for 24 straight hours. So at the end of 24 hours, I've made 2,400. I've done this for 7 years, the first year in a gym, the last six in my driveway. And in 7 years, we're over 1.4 million. It goes straight to help people with intellectual disability through sport. Special Olympics is a great landing spot. My family, three boys, my middle son has Down syndrome. He graduated from the Clemson Life program. Life is an acronym. Learning is for everyone. And he's the motivation behind it. Special Olympics was a huge part in helping Frankie find the confidence and the ability to live independently, to work, to be on time, to be able to do all the things that you have to do as a responsible and accountable person who works. And he lives independently with support. He is a major celebrity on campus at Clemson, even though he's already graduated. But all the Clemson Life students are celebrities. So 24 hours, Nothing But Net is something that we're going to keep doing until I can't do it any longer. And then somebody will take my place. But I'm in 7 years, my free throw shooting average is 93%. And I work really hard, not because the free throws are the important part of this whole story. The most important part is the money that goes right to help the athletes organize, train, compete, and socialize. But nobody wants to tune in on our live stream, BMAC. You and I work way too hard to try to provide some content on that, to see some old lady who gets AARP mail in her driveway shooting a bunch of bricks. That's true.
Oh, my favorite part of the live stream is what we do beforehand with all the interviews and the stories that are told. I've teared up and just, and luckily I'm in the background so you can't see it, but I've teared up at just about every one of them.
They're so good, because we get Special Olympic athletes all over the country, and once I meet them, they become fast friends. I get a text from a Special Olympic athlete across the country, I want to say almost every day, and it's all different. One of my friends, Tank, is like you, losing weight, and he gives me a progress report. My friend John in Indianapolis, he is a basketball player. I took him to a Fever game. He loves the Fever. He texts me every game day, and it goes on and on. I've just got all Frankie's buddies. They FaceTime and text me just about every day, and it's wonderful. It's really fun. Let me tell you what I just did too, because on Sunday of September 21st, I took 12 Clemson Life graduates to the Carolina Panthers game. We sat in the president of the Carolina Panthers suite, Christy Coleman's suite, and we took over, and she gave us the whole suite. And it was incredible. I'm getting ready to post some stuff from there, because I haven't posted a lot of stuff except for us loaded up in the van and getting ready to take off. But we had a heck of a day. And the Carolina Panthers, Christy Coleman, the president, her staff, everything was first class. And I'm working on the Hornets next, then the Hawks, then the Hurricanes, and I'm going to keep going. It's going to keep going. And I'm going to include the NC State Elevate students. And this weekend, I'm going to the NC State football game, BMAC, and I'm going to the game tailgating and going to the game with the Elevate students. I cannot wait. Should be really fun. This is the first time they've all been together in the football stadium.
This goes along with what you said about how all your new fast friends always contacting you and giving you updates on their lives and stuff like that. And this also goes along with what we talked about at the beginning of the podcast about how world traveler you are right now and very busy. And you don't necessarily have time to respond to every tweet. Because of that, I have a fast friend, I believe, because Jabbar Hassan tweets me more than he tweets you now.
That's good, because Jabbar's our basketball athlete for Special Olympics in Houston, and we love him. We've had him on the live stream multiple times, and he follows the W. He knows everything about the W, and he is not afraid to tell you his opinion, which we absolutely love. He's a great, great ambassador for Special Olympics.
All right. This next thing, I'm going to put you on the spot, but I'm also going to give you an out. So I'm going to say, can you give me a way too early Final Four team? But you can give me 5-6 teams if you want to go there.
Yeah.
Because I love you, I'm going to give you that out.
Well, it's early. And honestly, I'm just getting started in diving into the college space. I have been so busy with the Fever and with the WNBA, including the first round of the playoffs, as you mentioned earlier. Texas, Roy Harmon, Madison Booker, two of the best players by position in the country. UConn, Sarah Strong, AZ Fudd, two of the best players by position in the country. South Carolina, physical, athletic, long, deep, playing in Colonial Life. 12 years in a row, I think they've led the nation in attendance. Nothing's going to change there. They are highly talented. I'm excited about UCLA. Lauren Betts is back. Her sister's there. Charlize Ledger Walker. Yes. Keep your eye on that player. She was a transfer from Washington State the year before, got injured. But she was first or second in the Pac-12 in scoring, like 21 points a game. She can fill it up. She is an excellent player. They have a lot of returning players off their Final Four experience. And I'm sure Corey Close has learned a lot from that experience that will make them better this year. And then I like LSU. You know, LSU is another team. I think Malaysia Fulwiley is one of the most impactful transfers. I think Camille Pierre at NC State is one of the most impactful transfers. I'm excited about a lot of things around our game. I don't know which conference is the best. It doesn't matter. I don't know why we care about that, because everyone plays on TV. Everyone has played a tough non-conference schedule in the past. I expect them to play a tough non-conference schedule. And I would not be sleeping on Mark Campbell at TCU. I like TCU because they shoot the three and they defend. And their ball screen coverage is good enough. But to deal with their scoring ability and their three-point shooting ability and what they have returning plus what they've added in the transfer portal, it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, the whole thing is going to be fun. I can't wait. You know, I hope I have a game every night, but I know ESPN won't give me one every night, but I want one every night.
Well, before we put a bow on this episode, it's time to play everybody's favorite game. Pass me that napkin. Let me explain it for you, because I know I didn't do a very good job of giving it to you in the notes. Pass Me That Napkin is a game that Van Chancellor and I have played ever since he went to Houston in 1997. And what happens is we'll be at a restaurant, we're talking basketball, we're going back and forth. He pulls out a napkin, he pulls out a felt tip pen, and we'll do it. Every game is different. It'll be let's draft our best players. I'll pick one, he'll pick one. We'll just go back and forth. We'll get about 6 or 7 in, and then we'll have somebody vote. And when I was a teenager, I always won, but, you know, he's very competitive in that way. Also, there's times where you can do top five, top 10 lists or whatever. It's all about who you're with and, you know, what you're talking about at the time. For you, I want you to tell me your top five shoot till your arm falls off players of all time in women's basketball.
Ooh, wow. Well, golly, I love a shooter and I love a hot shooter. And I love a player that has spent so much time in the gym that every time they shoot it, you think it's going in. It requires a lot of work to do so. Well, Caitlin Clark, I mean, come on, from the logo, let's go. I mean, 20 years, for at least 20 years, I've been carrying my tape measure around. And it started back in the Sherry Cole era, back in the early 2000s when she had a bunch of shooters. Keeping that in mind, Oklahoma, I'm going to say Taylor Robertson. You know, she did have the three-point shooting record until Caitlin Clark came along. Those are two really good shooters. Like, they can score off of any action. Then there's Kelsey Mitchell. She was also one of the top three-point shooters in terms of makes during her time at Ohio State, and she's continued. She's the only player, I believe, in the history of the league with three consecutive 100 three-point make seasons. Nobody's done that. So that's a lot of shoot till your arm falls off, and I know how hard Kelsey works. I've been watching her since high school. I'm going to give you a name from back in the day, Lori Kane at K-State. Deb Patterson had some teams back then when Nicole Oldie and Kendra Wecker and Shaylee Lenning and Lori Kane. I mean, that team was loaded, and Lori Kane would just catch and shoot, and she was exciting to watch. And then I guess, you know, I got a lot of favorites, honestly, B-Mac, but Katie Smith and Jackie Stiles will always have a special place in my heart. So I may have, if you ask me for five, I'm going with six, because I can't talk about offense without talking about Jackie. And then, of course, Katie Smith. I mean, I've watched that kid grow up. So I'm blessed to have been around the game long enough to see players like that. You know, there's a lot of players that, like for me, I didn't have the three-point line when I played. Came in the year after me. So disappointing. I might not have been the best non-stat starter if we had a three-point line, B-Mac. But we didn't. So, oh, well.
Well, you know the part in the intro about being the best non-stat starter, I called you self-proclaimed just so I could give that clip to Kristen Gillespie.
Well, look, no one wants to compete for that title at NC State. Why would you? I mean, 3 years of starting, very little stats. 31 minutes, 2 for 5, a long rebound, definitely a turnover, a few assists because we had good post players. And, you know, I'm the non-stat player, and I recognize that in the way I call the game. So it just kind of felt like it worked together, you know. Well, you know how it came about is earlier in my career, somebody asked me, how do we introduce you on the air? I was like, what do you mean? Well, we got Nancy Lieberman, the Hall of Famer. We got Ann Myers, the Hall of Famer. Who are you? I said, well, back then I wasn't a Hall of Famer. So I was like, well, I'm the best non-stat starter in NC State history. I started for 3 years. Nobody would ever know because I have no stats. But we won a lot of games.
Man.
We won a lot.
Yes. Well, I don't know any other way to end this episode other than just to say thank you. Because I knew when I started this venture that one of the people I was going to make sure I had on was you. I know you probably got sick of me constantly emailing, constantly texting you. When you want to do this, help me. I mean.
No way, man. Come on.
But no, obviously you're special in my life. And I wanted to make sure that you were one of the first people I had on here. And thank you. Is all I can't think of any other way to say that, but thank you.
B-Mac, we're more than a team. You're part of our family. You're stuck with us now. And I mean, if my family's got your cell phone and I know they call you and bug you.
Your mom emailed me. Your mom. Your mom emails me. That I laughed when I got the email. I went, I'm used to Katie texting me and Denise texting. But your mom. When I got an email from Peggy, I said, oh, I'm in there now.
Yeah, you're in. How many things have you done with us through the years, right? I mean, not just the fundraiser, but you're a part of what we do. You're a part of the group. You're stuck with us. You can always say no, but you never do. So
Nope, can't do that. I'd miss out on something if I did that.
Next time we get together, let's share some Van Chancellor stories. Oh, I got a couple good ones. Yeah, I know you got a bunch.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you again for coming on, and enjoy the rest of the playoffs if you can.
Thanks, B-Mac. Love you, brother.
Love you too.